May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just some more about the grace of God. We'll be hearing about the grace of God, you know, every day. There'll be a class in heaven that'll never end, so don't get tired of hearing about the grace of God. This is what it says in Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who are believing. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he wrought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority. Now, I love this scripture because it clarifies our calling as believers. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling in the saints. Whatever Jesus' calling was as he lived on the earth, that's our calling. That we would know, and the word knows, to experience, not just learn, but to experience the same calling that Jesus had. That's why it says in Romans chapter 8 that we're predestined to be Christ-like. We're to be expressions of his life on the earth. We're called again to experience and reveal the fullness of Jesus. But Jesus' calling was really simple. It says in John chapter 1, that no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him. So Jesus came to do and be what man was created to do and be. And that was to be in the image of God and in his likeness. So as second Adam, Jesus came to reveal the likeness of the Father, of God. Because no man had seen God at any time, and Jesus wanted everybody to see what the Father was like, to reveal the Father's likeness. Our calling is to be Christ-like, which is very similar to his, which was to be Father-like. And his calling was to announce the kingdom and destroy the works of the devil. It was a warfare calling too. And we're called, Jesus said in John 20, what? As the Father sent me, so send I you. So we've been plunged into his calling to reveal the likeness of God, to reveal the likeness of Jesus as he revealed the likeness of the Father, and to continue to announce the kingdom and advance the kingdom, destroying the works of the devil. That's a pretty hefty calling. And he says that you would know the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now, if I'm going to fulfill his calling, I've got to have what he had. And so to fulfill his calling, to reveal his likeness, to advance his kingdom, to enforce his kingdom, destroying the works of the devil, I got to have the stuff that he had if I'm going to do that. It wouldn't be fair for the Lord to say, as the Father sent me, so send I you, but I'm not going to send you with the same equipment I had as man. And so he says that we would know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Not my inheritance, his inheritance. You see, my inheritance is his inheritance. Remember, we did this a couple weeks ago. The scripture talks about in Romans 8 about being heirs, and not just heirs, but co-heirs or joint heirs. And we define that clearly, that if there were four siblings here and you had parents who were really wealthy and they died, and they wouldn't divide it between 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. That's heir. But a joint heir means all of you get the whole 100%. Everybody gets it all. And you got to work out how that's going to work, but you all get it all. So Jesus said this in John 16, everything that the Father has, he said, I have. Everything that the Father has, I have. Now that defines and describes Jesus' inheritance. Everything that the Father has. That's a lot. All the patience, all the joy, all the power, all the anointing, all the love, all the forgiveness, on and on and on and on. Everything the Father had, Jesus said, is mine. And Jesus then said, and the Holy Spirit is coming to make that real to you. So when he says that we would know the riches of the glory of his inheritance, well, the glory, the riches of his inheritance is everything that God has. For all the fullness is embodied in him. And as it says in Colossians chapter 2, it says, for all the fullness is embodied in him, all the fullness of deity, and you've been made full in him. And so when I read this, I go, okay, that makes sense. I'm called to reveal your life as you are called to reveal the Father's life. And I get your inheritance, because that's how you did it. Jesus said, the works that I do, the Father does them through me. So everything that the Father had was Jesus, and that's how Jesus, as man, revealed the likeness of the Father. Now that same inheritance, Jesus' inheritance, now has become mine in the saints. So everything that Jesus had, which is all that the Father is, I have to fulfill his calling. It's not like he asked me to do something ridiculous. You see, he has the right to demand all because he's already given all. And then he goes on, he says in the next verse, it says, and, but the word really should be translated here, even, or namely, that you would know the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints, namely, the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, the same power that raised him from the dead. I love that. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in me. And there's more to that, and maybe we'll look at it tomorrow. But here's the final scripture that just blesses me about grace. This is Colossians, verse 12. There's a lot that's said, but he goes, giving thanks is a lifestyle to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So I have this amazing inheritance that's mine, and that inheritance is Jesus' inheritance, which is everything that God has. And emphasizing the power that raised him from the dead is alive and working in me. Therefore, I can fulfill that calling to be Christ-like. At home, in ministry opportunities, in Selma, overseas, doesn't matter. I can fulfill that. I can be Christ-like. Because the same power that raised him from the dead, which is part of my inheritance in Christ, is mine. And he said this, but the Father, here's the thing, is, well, how do I get that? How did I get that? He says, the Father qualified us. How does that happen? If a person has possessions that they purchase, that's their possessions. Or if they have possessions that's been given to them, maybe they were a war hero like Sergeant York, and they gave him a land and a house and all that stuff. But an heir can only get their possessions by inheritance. And you only can get an inheritance how? By birth. It's simply because you were born with that name. That's why it says about being baptized in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Most of the time, that's actually translated, you are baptized into the name of Jesus. You were born. And the moment you were born again, the name of Jesus, you were baptized into the name of Jesus. And because you were birthed, it's automatically yours. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. It just became yours the moment you were born again because of your birth and the name that you have. Isn't that crazy? But that's the wonders of grace. It isn't, now you're born again, now work really hard, and if you get to where you deserve it, then you'll get all this cool stuff. No, he says, you're born with all the cool stuff. Now go do all those things you could do because you got it all. You were born filthy, rich in the kingdom of God. For you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's all grace just because you were born again. The minute you were the youngest infant baby Christian, you already had it all. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.